WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Fresh Air TV critic David Bianculli. The AMC cable series Mad Men returns for its second season Sunday night and arrives with so much momentum, it risks being hit by a backlash because people are so tired of hearing about it. Certainly, more people have heard about it than have seen it. In its first season, this drama series, about the men and women at a New York advertising agency in 1960, was viewed by an average of only 1.1 million people. The lowest-rated show on the CW network gets more viewers than that. But Mad Men has gotten all this attention and broken through because it's so daringly original. The period, the themes, the characters, Mad Men is exploring unique territory here. In terms of being totally unlike anything else on TV at the time, it's like Hill Street Blues or Twin Peaks, like The Cosby Show or Seinfeld. And attention has been paid. Mad Men just scooped up a huge amount of Emmy Award nominations, including the first Outstanding Drama Series nod ever given to a show from basic cable. And just last weekend, the Television Critics Association honored Mad Men with 3 awards, including Program of the Year. That may make a lot more people curious enough to check out Mad Men Sunday night. But if they didn't do their homework by watching the first season DVD set, series creator Matthew Weiner isn't going to make it a particularly smooth re-entry. Even for loyal fans, the return is jarring, because we rejoin the characters and the story at a later point in time. When we last saw the employees at Sterling Cooper, it was 1960. For season 2, we pick up the action on Valentine's Day in 1962. It's supposed to be the age of Camelot, but you also feel the anxiety a lot. In this dream factory of an ad agency, no one seems to have what he or she really wants. Every time Mad Men hones in on a character, we can almost taste the longing and the desperation. John Hamm, as the agency's creative director Don Draper, is starting to feel the first pressures from what his own industry has dubbed the Pepsi generation. Clients want the men designing their ads to be younger. And Peggy, who used to be Don's secretary, has risen through the ranks to be one of the few women writing ads. You'd think she might be nicer to the woman who's taken her place as Don's secretary. But instead, Peggy enjoys the small sense of power that comes with her new position. Here's Elizabeth Moss as Peggy, approaching the desk of her replacement.
Do you have any idea when you'll be expecting Mr. Draper?
I was expecting him at the beginning of work today, but then he called and said he'd be late. He said he was going to the movies. Pinocchio.
Thank you.
Are you insinuating something? I wasn't doing anything, I don't think.
Well, I believe that. I want you to imagine when you talk about Mr. Draper that he's standing right behind you. And think about that whenever you speak of him.
Are you going to tell him me? I didn't know. What did I do?
Do you know where Mr. Draper is?
No, I don't. I think he was joking.
Lois, do you know where Mr. Draper is?
He's out.
Thank you, Lois.
The first 2 episodes, the only ones sent for preview, are much less concerned with specific storylines than with probing the attitudes and insecurities of the characters. Joan, the red-headed office manager played by Christina Hendricks, gives a cold welcome to the company's newest arrival, a brand new gizmo called a Xerox machine. Then she gives an even colder shoulder to one of her colleagues, making you realize there are elements to her character we've barely seen yet. And that's true of almost every person in Mad Men, which is why it's so rewarding. Don's picture-perfect wife Betty, played by January Jones, isn't so perfect after all. At one point, she flirts with a car mechanic to lower his rates just to prove to herself that she can. Young ad account salesman Pete, played by Vincent Kartheiser, has such a slick surface veneer that when tragedy strikes, he doesn't know how to act, or more precisely, how to not act. Will I cry? He asks Don. He doesn't really know. And neither does Don, who offers him a drink instead. There's an awful lot of drinking in Mad Men, and even more smoking. But like the fashions, the IBM typewriters, and the music, they're just other signs of the times. Weiner uses those times to comment on our own, about job insecurities, office politics, gender relations, but not with a heavy hand. Even though his characters seem to know the world is changing around them, Weiner is enjoying himself every step of the way. The first thing we hear in the second season premiere is Chubby Checker singing The Twist, with a lyric that seems chosen intentionally to welcome back viewers who found and enjoyed Mad Men last July, almost exactly a year ago. "Let's twist again," Chubby Checker sings, "like we did last summer." The invitation is infectious, just like the series itself.